But first of all, let's look at the parables in general. Parables are simple stories that are easy to remember, but have depths to them that we can discover if we study them more deeply. If you've missed any of the sermons, of course, we have a listen again facility on the website if you ever want to look for them. But as I say, as preachers, we can only pick out one or two points in a particular parable. If we study it more deeply, we discover a lot more. So because they're simple stories, they're easy to remember, which make them very good if we want to meditate on the scripture, if we want to discover those deeper things. Andrew, the Bishop of Reading, is very keen on what he calls, well, what he's called Lectio Divina, which is where you go and study a passage quite a few times, perhaps over a few days, perhaps over a few weeks. I think there's one series that's going where people actually study the same passage once a week for a whole year. The point about that is that every time you read it, you discover something new. I always get surprised by this, that I can read a passage that I know very well and see, I hadn't seen that before. And each time you go through it, there's something new that God wants to show you. So we can use the parables an ideal set of scriptures to use for that idea of studying more deeply, because Jesus shows us much more than we realize. The tremendous depths of this parable on the wedding banquet. As I say, I can only pick up one or two points. But to start with, everybody loves a wedding. One thinks so. I mean, Jane and my niece are getting married next year, and we've already put the date in our diary, and we've got to book a place to stay so we can go to the wedding. So we want to go to weddings. And if we go further east in the world, we discover weddings are even more important, even bigger. A year or two back, Jane and I were invited to the wedding of the daughter of a friend in India. You'll see some of the photographs appear on the set of slides. So if it's an Asian-looking wedding, that's the wedding we went to in Vijayawada in the central India. There are about 3,000 at the wedding. Feeding that number shows you the skills of catering people in India. They're incredible. And it went over about 4 days. I mean, it wasn't a quick thing. It was a bit confusing sometimes, but still, we can talk about that later. And if you look at the beginning of the parable, Jesus spoke to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So we're talking about a royal wedding. There's quite a lot of royal weddings in there. Some of William and Kate, the recent one. Everybody was very interested in that and watched it on television. Some are of other royal personages, some of which I'm not too sure who they are, but they look quite good in the pictures. Yes, that's an Indian one. So everyone loves a wedding, particularly a royal wedding. So why did these people turn away and reject the invitation? Why did they refuse to attend this wedding? Well, the answer is probably political in the story, this is. That the people who invited the wedding did not want to accept that the king's son was going to take over. A wedding is a sign that the son is taking responsibilities, that he's setting up his own household, that he's preparing himself to rule. And the people who are in the parable didn't want to accept the role of the son. They wanted to reject him, and therefore were not prepared to come to the wedding to accept that rule. The king's reaction is to punish those people. They're rebels. They're rebelling against the rule of the king, and particularly of the rule of the son. And therefore, they're punished. But also, the king wants to invite a whole lot of other people in to fill the wedding banquet. It's all prepared. It's all set up. So his servants go out and bring in everybody they can find. Somebody wandering down the street. Oh, come on, you're coming in now. So the banqueting hall was filled. And for an Eastern wedding, it was quite a large banqueting hall. There's quite a lot of people to be called in to come. I'm sorry, I wasn't going to refer to the slides, but I'm not sure Nick would quite like to conduct a wedding in that format, but still. I showed it to him once and he wasn't too impressed. So So from our point of view, we can see the meaning of this parable, because we can look back and see that the people that Jesus was talking about were the Jewish leaders, the ones who rejected Jesus as being God's son. Jesus is setting up the new kingdom, which everyone was supposed to join. And the clear message is simple. If people reject God, then God will reject those people. Or put it more personally, if we reject God, then God will reject us. In the context of the parable, the other people who are called in are the Gentiles, ourselves basically. The Jews rejected God, so God called the Gentiles to replace them. So God's kingdom is full of the Gentiles, the people who are called in place of the Jews. But what can we learn from the parable? How can it apply it to us? What are the lessons applied to ourselves? Well, I'm going to look at the little incident at the end of this parable to before I draw that out. Where are we? But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he said, how do you get in without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This seems a bit unfair. poor man was pulled in from the street. He didn't have time to go away and buy wedding clothes. I must admit, when Jane and I went to India, we did actually go to Southall and bought ourselves clothes suitable for an Indian wedding. I didn't put this on the display, but I've got them on my phone if anybody wants to see them afterwards. We think we look quite splendid, but other people might think otherwise. but what's about this poor man who was thrown out for not wearing wedding clothes? Well, according to all the commentaries, the custom was that if you were invited to a wedding, you were given a set of wedding clothes. So you could go off, wash yourself, tie yourself up, and put on these special clothes so you could go to the wedding. It meant everybody looked splendid and looked part of the wedding. So when the man was brought from the street, he decided, he wanted his street clothes. He didn't want to accept the clothes that the king was giving him. And the king didn't like that. And that's why he was thrown out, because he wasn't prepared to do come to the banquet in the way that the king wanted. So the lesson for us, as personally, is that we are invited to be part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of which Jesus is the Lord. Those of us who accepted the invitation but are then expected to do things God's way. We're expected to accept what God has given us and to fulfill God's purposes. We are invited to a fantastic banquet. God wants to give us tremendous things, but we must do things God's way if we are to stay there. So there's two challenges, really. First one is to accept the invitation to join the kingdom of God, be part of what God has prepared for us in the world. Second challenge is to actually do things God's way, accept the clothes he has given us, accept those spiritual resources that he knows we need in order to be part of that kingdom, in order to fulfill his purposes. And so we need to be ready to do things the way that God wants. But how do we know what God expects? How do we know that we're doing the right thing? Well, we go back to the beginning and say, it's in the parables. It's in the Word of God. If we want to learn more from God, we need to study it. We need to learn what God is telling us through it. And if that means reading a parable several times and thinking about it more deeply, allowing God to speak to us through it, well, that's the way God works. And that's what he wants of us. So this is the last in a series of sermons on the parables of Jesus. There's tremendous depth in those parables. If we go through the sermon series, the preachers can only cover one or two points in each parable. If we dig deeper, if we read it again for ourselves, we'll discover much more. And that's how we learn from God. That's how we discover what God wants us for us and from us. Immediate challenge is that we need to respond to God's invitation to come, to be part of the kingdom. But also we need to serve God in the way that he wants us to serve him, to accept what he wants to give us so that we can serve him more effectively. As I say, there's a lot more in this parable. I'm not going into it because Jane was looking at me with... But I'm going to ask a question which for you to ponder. I must admit, I haven't quite got to the root of the answer myself, so I'm not going to share it with you. Why did Jesus use a wedding banquet as the event at the foundation of this story? Why a wedding banquet? Amen.